Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're at in this country today, and anywhere in the world, because we're being able to be picked up anywhere in the world, anytime that people want to talk to us. And so today we're going to go ahead, and this is Ed, and with my host, friend.
Neil Goodman? Yes.
Yeah. So it's a pretty amazing day. Again, the virus are warning people, more people are saying, stay home, kind of be evacuation. So to kind of do that. But today we're still talking to merchants. They're still doing a lot of shipping. People are still shipping goods, and so that's good news. And you should be taking advantage of it. I saw a lot of merchants are coming on. I see a lot of shows are coming on. People are being very unique, so. And I'm really pleased to see that so many people are doing shows out in the world today. So you were showing me one. You showed me one. Grove of the Gods. That's the one that's coming up. And I saw Between Two Witches. So people are starting to be pretty unique about it. And it's very interesting because early when I was talking to people, I hate to say it, but when I was talking to people earlier about the idea of the idea of creating, we should be more like reality shows. We should be able to do some more of our own broadcasting. I think people thought that was very funny. They thought it was kind of silly. Why did we need it? And now everybody's scrambling to get it. So
here it comes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to
so.
The future again. There you go.
Absolutely. And so I'm still holding the idea that we need more reality shows, real reality shows. I've been hearing about this one called Tiger King that everybody's raving over. If you don't think people don't like reality shows, you just don't understand people. They love reality shows. Hmm? Not everybody, every reality show, but a lot
right.
of them. Hmm?
Yep. Yes, they do.
But one of the big tips, I saw something on TikTok, and it applies to you, Neil, especially. They're going to be doing something called the Witches Ball 2020 from April 7th to the 14th. All the young TikTokers are going to get together, put on their refinery, and are going to do music pieces and other things in order to kind of create kind of a Witches Ball idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. And so, so that's it. I was thinking about you or anyone who's selling costumes or hats or any of that should really get themselves started on TikTok a little bit more so that at the time when this comes, they'll be ready to handle it. Be a little bit out there. Because I think it's going to be a good time. That'll be a great opportunity for merchants who sell stuff to actually be really a part of the community of
right.
that and show off their goods.
Yeah, that sounds like an interesting concept they're having there for TikTok.
We were going to do a spring break idea, but we kind of nixed it. So, you heard me talking about it and said, oh, what happened to that idea? And we kind of nixed it for one major reason. We feel that this is kind of predicted energy at the end of the month. This is going to be a rough month, April. So we decided we didn't want to do something so flippant.
Right.
We want to do it better. So, but we're going to continue doing shows across the board. So you guys can call in today, and if you have any comments or anything else, please let us know. If you listened to yesterday's show, you found out, if you want to understand camping, yesterday's show was really good for that. But one question came out of it. Was about ropes. And people are saying, well, what are the best ropes or what type of tie downs should you get? When you're talking about, because you talked about extra stakes and extra tie downs.
I don't like.
And the idea was, do you use regular rope or nylons?
I usually use nylon rope. It's what I prefer because you can melt the ends And it's one of those things is you set up, you stretch them tight, give it a day or two, or the first rain comes through, you go around and you re-tighten and re-stretch them because they're going to give. Even the cotton rope will give. You re-tighten down your whole booth. I personally have seen too many ratchet straps fail. And most of them are they go by the cheapest ratchet straps they can find at the hardware store or Walmart or whatever, and I've seen them fail. Now, you can also go the other way. The good trucker tie-down straps, ratchet straps. Those work better. But
so what's a ratchet strap?
I've used ropes for so long, I feel better and prefer ropes over the tie-down.
What is a ratchet strap?
A ratchet strap is a tie-down strap. People use them in the back of their pickup trucks. Every open-top truck you see running down the highway that has their covers, the tarps, over whatever they're hauling, those are all ratchet straps that run across the beds of those trucks and tighten down. They're nothing but a big fastener. They have a hook on both ends, and you hook them, and you ratchet strap them. You click them, which winds the rope tight in them, and that's what a ratchet strap is.
That's good. Okay. So that's it. So that was the question on ropes, and again, go back and check them like a day or two after, you know, especially after it rains. And check them for a day or two. That's interesting. I'm learning quite a bit about how different works on it. So we're still looking out at the energy. And one of the things that does look like, it looks like by June, we might actually get back to being allowed to be festivals. I'm not promising this, but it does look like we'll be able to get back to festivals. But I really do think that people have to understand. So I saw... I don't know if this applies to us as a community and how many are going to come back and who are not. But I saw and was listening to MSNBC this morning, the business report, and I followed it up. They're expecting that if they keep this up, that 70% of all restaurants are not going to reopen. They're expecting that we see closures of up to 70%. And I wonder how many occult stores, metaphysical stores, and other stores like that, as well as merchants and festivals, are they going to be able to reopen? Are we going to really see the kind of reopening that we're used to? And that's why kind of helping out the merchants now is important.
Well,
frightening.
I see it across the board. Anything that's not a major corporation or anything that can't run during the stay-at-home orders or the quarantine orders or whatever is going to be that way in small business across the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of capital reasons. And they keep talking about the small business loans and everything. Yeah, those also come with strings attached to them, too. So even you may reopen, but you find out you've borrowed money that you now can't afford to pay back, which means you lose the business anyway.
So, and now my friend Don, which has mentioned, it says we've survived epidemics before. I mean, the fact that we have these pandemics is
not
he was
new.
Always pointing out, you know, new. In fact, it's really a statement to our modern medicine as a whole, that so many people think this is like a conspiracy, this is like a plan, and, you know, so many other types of reasoning for it other than, oh, wow, we have got another epidemic running through the human species. Because it does happen. It happens pretty regularly. I mean, we don't remember the measles that used to run through our society. Polio ran through our society. It's our modern medicine's gotten so good that people don't understand that. So I guess that's hard for people to really understand that this is not an attack on us.
No.
So, but if you want to call in, 516-453-9948, we'll be happy to talk to you. I know that we're relatively new on this station, but, and we're in the middle of the afternoon, but what are you doing anyway? So give us a call and we'll talk with you. It's interesting how many people are doing their own shows now. So let me go ahead and offer some tips on that. Go ahead and do your own show. When is it Andrew Cuomo that is the reporter? I'm trying to make sure. The reporter Cuomo for CNN is now doing his show from the basement. If CNN can put out a major reporter from their basement, we can all do it. I've been really kind of gleefully, like, appreciative of all of the reporters who have had to do their reports from home and how they're – you can see they're making these makeshift studios. Cuomo, who's a reporter, is, like, in his basement doing it. And you can tell it's a basement. It's a nice basement. It's white-walled, but it's a basement. I've seen him do it – a lot of people – are using to choose the bookshelves, which I think is a really busy background. I'm going to go back on the air. People have been asking me. So one of the odd things people have been asking me says, Ed, you were all over. You were doing almost daily broadcasts, you know, every day from now that we've gotten into this quarantine, you're actually less on the air than you've ever been. Not, I've been on more radio than I have been in a long time, but I'm not doing as many physical sort of videos. And it's like, it's very interesting because I feel like there's a lot of people out there. I want to see them get their message out. And, I haven't really done that much of it, but I'm going to get back to it. So I'm going to start, Ed the Pagan Show Coffee. I'm going to try doing a show in the morning about all the coffee show. Cause after all, I'm known as the coffee pusher.
Yes, you are.
And if you want to send me coffee, DM me and I'll send you, have my address so you can send me coffee. If you're a coffee producer, I'd be happy to go ahead for a bag of coffee, tell everybody, and I even got a French press here ready. I didn't realize that I found
a
French
press. Wow, coming up in the world.
They've had it here, and I didn't even realize it until they – I love French press coffee. That's one of the biggest things that I think – so let's try this. So coffee is an important part. And I've seen a couple of camping coffee because you can't bring a drip coffee maker out to it unless you have electricity. You can't bring a drip, and even if you do, I can't imagine doing that. You know, bringing a drip coffee, one of these fashion drip coffee makers.
No, Coleman makes a drip coffee maker for your camp show.
Do they?
Yes, they do. Got a hot water tank on the bottom of it. It heats the water. Mm-hmm. It works just like a regular coffee pot. It sends it up through the tube and out into your ground basket, and it drips. Yes, they do. They also have them that are just straight-up propane-powered. If you just screw the bottle onto it, pop it, light it, and it does its own thing as a standalone unit attached to propane bottle. Yes, they do. They make drip coffee makers.
Wow. Yep. Well, that's fancy. I'm used to French, so out in the festivals, I'm used to French press and cowboy coffee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lots of cowboy coffee out there.
What's that?
Lots of cowboy coffee out there. Grounds and all. The thicker, the better. Just can't stand it.
That's right.
It ain't worth drinking.
Yeah, and for those who don't know coffee, can you explain what cowboy coffee is for those who don't know what it is?
I know people that will do everything from buy a pack of clean socks and throw their coffee grounds into the sock and take a boiling pot of water and you throw your coffee grounds in it. I know some people that just dump straight coffee grounds into their pot and boil it and then pour off the top of it.
Wow, yeah, I've seen that too. Mostly what I'm used to is the idea of the coffee pot with a percolator coffee pot.
Okay, yeah.
And then you percolate it, and then you just add more grounds and more grounds until it gets so full you can't do it anymore, then you dump it out. And they boil coffee all day. And as a coffee person, I appreciate that. So you get some really interesting and great coffee at camping trips, and it's important. And I've seen now at some of the bigger festivals, they're actually building coffee shops, which shows you how far coffee's come in our society.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here we are, 516-453-9948. Folks, come on in. Call in if you want. I know. I know. I'm dealing a little bit with, you know, I know at this point there's a little bit of fatigue. There's a little coming. So I see both creative people, but I'm also seeing a little bit of what I would call fatigue. Just like binge watching television or other things like that. But how are you as a merchant? I mean, that's got to be a big thing for you because you're sitting basically in your booth, and a large part of the day. You have a fair amount of people coming through, but for large parts of the day, people are in workshops. They're at, you know, kind of the day events. And a handful of people go. And I know there's surges, but how do you keep from being fatigued or just bummed out from being at, you know, in those spaces? Or, you know, getting bored? I would think that would be a terrible challenge.
That's when you prep and tinker and do all the things that makes your shop look pretty. They dug through a pile of something. You reorganize and resort the pile of whatever they decided they were digging through. Tapestries. At that point, you have enough time to straighten, refold, get everything back to looking like a real store. Because that's what you are, and that's what you need to look like. The more you look like a real store, the more people will shop instead of a garage sale or just a hodgepodge. I threw everything in here.
And
it's all psychological. And remember,
I've seen that
as long as you're working, you will draw a crowd because people like to watch other people work.
Actually, I joke about I love work. I can watch it for hours.
Yep, that's it. Especially at a pagan event, you know, you're on vacation. Hey, you can watch somebody else do the work.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm learning something about how people see merchants. It's really getting to be on this. And I think it has something in like the festivals too. So, because festivals are like landlords, in the sense they are.
It's their
and
space.
And you're renting.
You just happen to be living in it for a little while. Pay them rent to live in it for a little while and provide you entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no two-drink minimum. That's usually the bad thing.
No two-drink minimum? No, but hydration is a religion.
There's nothing like going down at a festival because you didn't take care of yourself. Yeah, I had heat stroke at festival twice. So, yes, I have. In my younger days, I did a couple of things stupid and actually went down at an event, and that was on a Friday, and by Sunday, when we got out of there, I was in pretty rough shape because I went down Friday night from being dehydrated because I had worked all day in the sunlight trying to get things done because we were running behind for this show until I fell over, literally fell over. So
wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I was in events with Chrysalis Moon, and I remember Oberon Zell and everybody being there. And I remember it was like 100 degree days, and I got really, really sick. Because then there was a stream where we were all hanging out in, because it was a nice cool stream. So we were sitting literally in hours in a decent stream, and I got so sick. And by the time I got home, I had a form of dysentery. I mean, I got picked up dysentery, and it wasn't from the water that I was drinking or anything else, but it was being in 100 degree weather, 105 as much as it got there, which was, I don't do super well with heat. I just don't. When I was younger, I couldn't be in the sun for long periods of time. Actually, the worm business killed that. So, I would get something called sun. I would get sunstroke. Or sun poison.
Yes.
It was my big thing. And I remember going, doing the event, and I did everything I could. We were sitting cool things and everything else. But, man, it was Christmas moon. And after a week of that, I couldn't handle it. It was just terrible.
That's why you need to drink water and Gatorade, Powerade, whatever, to put those electrolytes and stuff back into your pit, into your body. Pickle juice works well also as a hydrator to put some salts and minerals and stuff back into your body. I myself take one of the full-size either Gator or Powerade bottles and put about 1.5 inches of it into it and fill the rest of it with water. And there's also the other side of that. You can put so much straight water through you, you flush everything out of you, which is just as bad as getting dehydrated because you have none of the salts or minerals put back into it. I had a friend in New York that drank so much water, she pumped everything else out of her, and she went down.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So water alone, isn't it? You really have to pay attention to other, like, trace minerals, salts, and things like that as well, huh?
Yes.
That's interesting. I forget about that. I mean, I drink Gatorade. I actually know more about that than anything else because of the fields, but I hadn't thought about that as being a big issue because, I mean, they speak about water like it's religion. Almost everywhere I go where there's a hot weather festival.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But that is part of it, is you have to replace those salts and minerals in your system. If not, just drinking water, you can flush everything out of you after a while, which is just as bad as being dehydrated. It is just, until that happened, I had never heard of it. I didn't know you could do that. I had no idea that you could pump so much water, straight water, through you that you would wash everything out of your body, all the minerals, all the salts, all the good things, you know. All the electrolytes, but that's what your body functions on besides the liquid water in it, is that's what makes all the connections and everything fire and work in your system.
So I saw somebody by the name of Jody. And wishing you a happy quarantine Halloween. I'll post pics later. So people are doing a Halloween thing today.
Yes, the 31st.
That's weird.
Yes. People are
31st.
Wearing costumes and doing the whole Halloween thing today. Second Halloween, what people have been asking for years.
That'd be fun. I mean, I can imagine. I did not know about that until I saw that.
Oh, yeah, I've been posting it for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess I've seen it. So that's an interesting one today. So yeah, that's a good picture. I'll be looking forward to seeing pictures.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's been very interesting, people, how they're entertaining themselves and everything else. So another question that comes up about festivals, and somebody was saying that the idea of drinking, well, drinking and drugs. I mean, there's a big misbelief of pagan festivals are big, big, huge, intentionally drug fest. Now, there are some consciousness festivals that have drug themes, or not drug themes, psychedelic themes. But most pagan festivals,
right,
though, but most pagan festivals are not super drinking events, and they're not super drug events. I mean, they haven't actually, at least publicly, say you don't bring those in here. You know, don't do the drugs and drink in your campground. Isn't that true?
Yes, there are some of them. A lot of the bigger events have AA and NA groups and stuff that
mm-hmm.
meet inside of them. There are 12-steppers there. There are some straight-edge
mm-hmm.
Xers that I know that come to festivals. So it's like anything else. It draws all kinds of people to whatever event that you're having.
That makes sense. Because, you know, well, Starwood,
we have a
where
very diverse community.
Yeah. Now, Starwood, which is not a pagan first event, people don't realize that it's not a pagan event. It's a consciousness, what do they call it? Consciousness awareness event, alternative consciousness.
Consciousness expansion, something or another.
Right. And that one has a lot stronger kind of the idea of explaining and having a more of an experience with psychedelics. But they don't sell them there. No. There's not like there's no one there. No. And that's something
no.
that we've learned now. Because anyone who thinks that these events are like, you know, come in there, I have cash and looking for it. We lost an entire festival ground that a lot of people spent money on because we had idiots who were allowing drug distances, which allowed salt, you know, that one, because a lot of people invested a lot of time and energy, but the federal government eventually took it away as a confiscation for what was drug dealing on the site, as far as I understand.
Yes.
Well, at least. And then there was a big belief of that. So I've talked with people who have said, "Oh no, it's drug dealing. You know, they're pagans do a lot of drugs, and you can go there and you can get you can have an experience." You go, that literally isn't true.
Right. It's not a rave, folks.
If I go to a rave,
not a rave. Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's a totally different experience.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. I don't necessarily disagree with that. This is not a judgment call. This is just an expectation call.
Right.
This isn't judgment. I mean, I can't.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing.
So yeah.
I mean, what you do you. And I tell people that all the time. You do yourself. But don't expect to find these types of experiences. These aren't the experiences you have. Find people who will take you and do yoga with you. You will find people who teach you a meditation. There's lots of people who do creative visualization exercise.
Tai Chi, all sorts of things. There's usually at most of big festivals a morning Tai Chi out there.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Woods does one. There's a couple other people that at the bigger festivals and stuff, that's their thing, is that their morning exercise, recreation, whatever you want to call it, you know. During Sirius Rising, there is one of the heathenists that does bloat rituals every morning. and they mm-hmm. do stumbles, and they do their form of ritual in the morning, every morning. So, you know, it's an interesting, diverse group that come together for these festivals. It's not just the heathens. It's not just the witches. It's not just the druids. It's just not, it's everybody. You know, you can find out, mm-hmm. If you're interested in different things, you can find out more information and workshops and stuff about other stuff you can, you've heard about it, you've been interested in it, well, go see so-and-so because that's what they do, or go to this workshop, or go talk to this group. It's about having lots of diversity all in one place that, you know, you can pick and choose and learn what you want and take what you want and leave the rest, you know? That's part of the nice thing about going to festival is the diversity, and just about any subject under the sun that you think you want to know about, there's probably somebody there that knows, or is teaching something on that.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And so that's a very different type of experience than most people expect. I don't know why, but a lot of people expect it to be really like the drug experience. They expect it to be the psychedelic experience. They expect it to be outrageous and everything else. And what it really is Starwood used to call themselves a university, you know, a once-a-year university. And some of the festivals
right.
have gone that. But it's a way to kind of learn. You know,
it's not a music festival. It's not like going to some of these 3 or 4 day event music festivals where they have music running. There's some of them that have music running 24 hours a day, and there's other ones that have it for 18 hours a day. You know, they fire up the stages at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and they go to 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, there is music at all the Pagan events.
Oh, sure. I'm going to say that.
There's guest speakers, there's drumming, there's the fire at night, there's dancing, there's the communities that have their little campfire groups. There's lots of groups of like-minded people, different organizational groups that all hang out, and all of them will welcome you into their camp and sit down and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now,
yeah,
one of the ones that I... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, but there is one thing that can actually really, I find very interesting, and that is all-night drumming circles. That is the one thing you do find at Pagan festivals. To drum until dawn. I've actually been around the fire all night and sat and danced until dawn. Now that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, but that only happens at half a dozen festivals, maybe in
really?
The United States that I know of.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting because most of the festivals I go to have had it, but I go to. Let's be honest, I'm not much of a festival goer.
You know, if you want that all-night drumming experience, Appalachian Summer Solstice at Wisteria, Starwood at Wisteria,
really?
Cirrus Rising,
mm-hmm.
Sankofa. I haven't been in years. SPG in Florida was that way. Because a lot of the drummers that come up for Starwood and go on up to Brushwood all come from Florida. The big one of the big hardcore drumming groups is out of Florida. So the drumming events and drumming and dance festivals like Nighthawks, and Paralounge. They're held in Florida, but they're not a pagan event or anything either. They are a drumming and dancing festival, and they have drumming workshops and they have dancing workshops. It's a different festival, just like the Burner Festival, or the mini Burning Man, or Burning Man. They're all festivals.
Okay.
So, yes.
So,
most
kind
of the smaller
to pay
events, most of the smaller events, there's not enough people and enough drummers. Drummers only drum for 3 to 4 hours a night, usually, because that's all your hands can take. Unless you're professional and you do it all the time. You know, you turn your hands into hamburgers from pounding on the drum. I know drummers that take super glue and glue their fingers back together every day from when they wake up in the mornings so they can go drum the following night. Literally, super glue their fingers back together.
Yuck. I feel like that would be
because
really hard on yourself.
Right.
But
you've got one chance, and you've got this week-long event, and, you know, you're going to blow it out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, and you do it 2, maybe 3 times a year. The drummers and the dancers, it's ritual. Different ritual than you've ever seen before, ever heard before. It's just what happens when a whole group gets into the vibe, the groove, wherever it should take you. Yeah, a lot of the drummers talk about trans drumming, is they go away and somebody comes in and they drum. That's one of the reasons some of them, like I said, your hands are swollen. They use arnica and other stuff to take the swelling and stuff down, and they super glue their hands back together because they split fingers and stuff from drumming for many hours upon end. So that's one of the fun things about the bigger 500 to 1,500 participant festival. And there is a difference between we had 500 heads through the gate. Oh, yeah, well, let's see, 500 heads, let's see, 150 of those were staff, there was 100 merchants, so there were 250 paid admissions through the door to this festival. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about actually having attendees, not any of the inner structure or anything else of that festival. That's paying heads coming through the door on a day pass or coming for the whole weekend or the weekend pass or whatever it is through the door that are actually participants instead of part of the machine that makes the festival run. And the speakers and the bands and the band's entourage and all the other things and all the other people that get comped in.
Okay.
Sorry,
yeah, that's another
little
thing.
Rant. There you go.
There you go. Actually, that's pretty good. That's, you know, a good aspect of it.
Because in the past 10 to 15 years, it used to be actually head count. How many people did we bring through the gates that actually paid? Well, when those numbers started dropping, they started anybody that was breathing on land, we can count as another person in our head count. We can actually count them now instead of actually paid participants.
And is there a difference between that? I mean, ultimately there is, right? You really want, as a merchant, you want to know paid applicants, right? Not just the giveaway? Or
right.
Does it matter to you?
In ways, yes, and in ways, no. The merchants trade and deal amongst themselves while they're at festival. The staff, don't get me wrong, the speakers, the band, the staff all spend money too. But it's not the same as paid ahead through the gate. Paid head through the gate is what pays the bills. The other is just gravy on top that comes out with the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we're on the last, we're going to, 536-453-9948. I realize people are still getting used to the idea. They're not used to, you know, we haven't penetrated as far, but people are listening. So I want to thank everybody. And I'm very aware that most people have gotten very used to the idea that we are, we listen to in the downloads. And so while we're a live show, we are downloads, and most of us listen in downloads. I know that I've trained you guys over the years to, you know, just to be that way. So it's a little tough, but, yeah. But, you know, kind of join us if you want to join us and everything else. If there's another time in the day, right now we like this, but, give us a call, you know, that sort of thing. And talk to us on DM. So how do people get a hold of you, Neil? And I know we say this every show, but
the easiest way right now is to either Facebook me at Neil Goodman, or go to Neil's shop on Facebook and message me through the shop. And I will have the website up here probably in the next 30 days, which is gotoneilshop.com.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still under construction right at the minute.
Absolutely.
That's the best
and
way to get a hold of me.
Yeah, and do get a hold of him, and, you know, talk to him, and, you know, he's going to give you some nice, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Absolutely. So we get, yeah, and so I'm hoping we get back to the festival sooner than later. We know that we're not going to in April.
So am I.
A lot of them have, I bet you are.
I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of the city. I'm ready to actually go camping for a while and get back to making money. So yes, I am ready to see the festivals come back.
So I was even looking at, I was thinking about, you know, because I'm not too far away. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, which isn't too far away from Springer Hill, Georgia, and the start of the Appalachia Trail.
Yes.
Right. And I just discovered, that they've asked us to stay off the Appalachia Trails. And I'm like, why? Wouldn't that be like the best place for, I would think that would be one of the best places to go out and get away from everybody, but they do not feel that is true.
Well, my other job here in the city that I am working still is I deliver pizzas.
Right.
And this is my take on what I'm seeing out there actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Social distancing in the parks isn't happening. There are tons of people out walking, out doing things close proximity to each other. The tennis courts, the basketball courts, they're full with people playing. The playgrounds that they have supposedly shut, they've shut them down, have kids and parents playing on them out there. I see so many people that are not practicing social distancing and doing dumb things, in my opinion, right now. On, and that's not everybody. That's a small number, but they're only making the problem worse and last longer because they're not following the best directions that there are out there. They aren't taking care of themselves that way. So, you know, that's just what I'm seeing out there, is there's just too many people in close proximity to each other, out wandering around because they've got nothing else to do. Even the Frisbee, Kansas City Flying Disc Golf Club, which is the Frisbee Golf Club here in Kansas City, have came straight out and said, do not go play golf, because everybody touches their disc, everybody touches the baskets. So that is a way that the virus can be passed easily and quickly through lots and lots.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bad idea. Because, what was it? The virus can live on a basket for like 2 days, and on the plastic surface of the Frisbees, I think they said it could live up to 3 days. The coronavirus. So, yeah, they've shut down our public golf courses. I just delivered last night to a affluent community that has their own golf course that they live on. And it was amazing to me, everybody that was out playing golf,
mm-hmm.
it's like... And not like, you know, they were 15 minutes apart from each other. You know, they had a hole in between them. No, they're stuck up each other's butts because they're all off. So they're all out on the course together. But that's just my opinion.
And I understand, you know, because I walk, so people don't realize, I walk every day. Or almost every day. But, you know, I'm not going near anybody. I've got a little route that I walk.
Right.
And it's really hard because some people are like, well, you shouldn't go out at all. No, I'm not touching anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm simply walking around, and I clean my hands when I get back in. But I do know that I've seen people get kind of, I got honked at yesterday. Because I've been starting to walk at night a little bit or later in the day, so that, you know, I'm not running into people. So, yeah, I believe in walking. And so, but it's hard in this because people are like, oh. And during the day, and actually there are other walkers out there, and we say hi to each other, but we stay in some distance.
Well, Sunday here we had a nice weather day. I saw one of the motorcycle clubs out rolling at least 24 deep, out running around together on their bikes, which is a bad idea too. No, it's fine to go out and ride your bike, but there's these large packs of people that are together out doing it. It is just beyond me what some people think social distancing is.
Absolutely. So, I will tell you, it's killing me not to travel right now. I will tell you, everybody else, it is. Especially, it's the paradox. As soon as this quarantine is over, these prices won't remain, but they're torturing us. They are absolutely torturing us. I saw plane tickets for like $29 to almost anywhere I want to go to.
Yeah.
But once I get there, I can't do anything. I have no place to stay. The hotels are closed and everything else. So I get it. But man, I have to be honest. I will tell you, it's killing me to see these prices out there. You know, somebody who wants to get much traveling. Mm-hmm.
There's several of the major hotels in downtown Kansas City, Missouri right now that have closed.
Oh, sure.
Flat out closed. I've seen a few of the restaurants that never, ever before doing carry out is beneath them. That are now open, doing carry out. It's changing the dynamic of the world. But I understand they're trying to pay their employees. I mean, where I work right now, we're open 5 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're open 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 9 o'clock at night. And we also have the problem, we have college kids that aren't in college, came back for spring break. Now they're back here during the quarantine. Yeah, they're doing some online classes and other stuff, but there is a glutton of people that want to work, but there's not enough hours to go around. I even gave up some of my hours so some of the other people could have a few hours to go make some kind of money. Because I've got several friends that are totally out of work. Both of them are out of work. And it's, how do we pay the bills? What can we do? I've got a friend that's doing hard work and handyman type stuff now because he's a bartender. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
He can't work at all. So he's back doing something that he knows how to do to try to at least bring in some kind of money to feed and house himself and family. It's going to be an interesting time. And the longer this lasts, the worse things are going to get. I mean,
gotcha. Yeah.
We used to have a pretty predictable business. And now there is no planning, there is no rhyme nor reason. You know, it used to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday were your big days. Not anymore. It could be Tuesday, it could be Wednesday, it could be Monday. You could have what would be traditional Friday night where you'd be slammed. It's dead. It's a dead Saturday. Instead of having the traditional where we're busy, we have a lot of employees in to meet demand, to not have a demand out there. So, merchanting of any kind is really getting interesting out there on the way the world is working and moving. And the longer we're shut down, there's people that are living off their savings and other things that we saw when the economic crash happened in 08. That money eventually runs out. That's like the merchants and stuff in the pagan world didn't feel the effects of the crash until about 2009, 2010.
And why is that?
When the money started running out. That was what was funny, because, you know, after the crash, everybody had money, and they expected things were going to go back to normal. So they spent and they did as normal until normal ran out. So that's just what I have seen happen during the crash was, you know, people had room on their credit cards. People had savings. People had this. Well, then once they burned through all of it and decided, well, this ain't getting any better, what do we do now? They stopped spending. And I think we're even more in a society right now that we have more people living paycheck to paycheck now than we did then.
Obviously, even our corporations are doing that if they need to be bailed out so quickly for what they're doing.
Yeah, what's another opportunity to get free money?
Absolutely not. Or an opportunity to get free money. We won't get into that part of that because we're not that. So let's give one more last thing about one thing I think that makes the festivals, I think the probably one of the last things I think people don't understand. If you're a deep urban person, I don't think you understand the one thing that I think I've heard over and over again. And that is the idea of the stars, you know, about the light pollution. In Chicago,
Yep. Oh yeah.
You can see the Milky Way in some of these festivals. Because most of the festivals are far enough away from the cities is that while the entire United States is light poisoned, you know, we have light pollution everywhere. You can get to really see the stars. And that can really give you something
that you've
amazing.
Never seen before. Yes. Gaia used to be like that, but since the city keeps encroaching further out towards it, the light pollution has gotten worse, and the stars are just not as pretty as what they used to be. They're still there. You can still see them, but it's not like you used to could. Wisteria, the skies are beautiful. Brushwood, the skies are beautiful. Midian. Like Lorien, but these are all far enough away from major cities or major light pollution. Yeah, there's little towns around them and stuff, but they're far enough hidden away into the brush that you can still see the stars, and you can see satellites, and you can see the International Space Station at times when it passes over, and that you don't get in anywhere near any of the urban environments because light pollution is just too bad. So, yes, if you break
that
bring your telescope or bring your binoculars out to look at things because you can. And you can actually see them. I've seen lots of people bring telescopes and stuff to festival just to star watch at night. Because to some people, it's a novel idea.
It is. And I've seen, and some people will even share them with you. And if you see people, you know, don't touch anything that's not yours.
Yes.
And so I've seen it. I love it. So, but people are going to share that with you. So here we are. We're at the end of, I think, of another show. We'll be back soon. I'm going to do a little bit of pushing. I'm going to make sure people out there, I know it's very hard. So I'm going to start ask for people for our next show. And, we'll just see what happens. Tomorrow is April 1st. And I think that one of the biggest ideas out there is that I've seen the idea of maybe the idea of, oh, wow, it's such an attractive thought. I'm going to go out and ask people because I know people are like, sometimes it's hard to get people to call in. I've done that for years.
Right.
And we got experience, and it's hard. And so I do think this is one of those things that really make it hard for people to understand. that if you're going to be in business, you've got to find a way to contact your communities. You've got to be able to reach out and things of that nature. You can't let just like sit around and do nothing. I mean, you really got to try. And that's really the hard part. You got to remember that. And the truth is, you're going to get a 99% no. If you get, you know, told no 99 times, just think of it. Just think of it as, you know, as part of the game. It's okay, because somebody is eventually going to say. And you may take
so
a lot of no's.
You can join the 1% club.
Yeah, there you go.
Because you're doing 1%.
Right, and if you keep going at it, people will say yes eventually. And if they don't, then you know that, that's one of those things that basically maybe, you know, the market talks. But it takes a lot of work, and you should go ahead and keep trying.
Yes.
And so
remember, every billionaire went bankrupt 5 times. So, yes, you just got to keep trying until it hits. You know that one.
Oh, I know that all too well. As everybody knows, I'm still suffering to a certain degree from my last business, and it's like that. It's very interesting because I'm very grateful for where I'm at, but right now I wouldn't be able to work. I won't get too much into it, but Chicago is really – I've got a real inside look into Chicago, and I think they're out there. I think it's dangerous. I think that there is, you know, it can be dangerous. So, and so you do be careful, everybody. Out there, but yeah, think about the festivals and everything else, and you know, don't let this discourage you, folks. And we'll be back shortly. And with that, any last thoughts, Neil, from you?
Join us tomorrow. Same bat station on same bat time.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Then we go ahead and talk to you soon. And have a good day, everybody. Blessed be.
Bye-bye.